light of dawn crept harshly over the daunting facade of Beeston Hall and found Minnie Crabtree pacing fitfully by her mistress's bedside. If only they hadn't come here, she whispered to herself bitterly. If only they had never seen this place, and Miss Alice had never walked out in the dead of night onto that unfamiliar landing, misplaced her footing and plunged down the stairs, knocking herself unconscious and narrowly escaping the dark teeth of death. Oh, if only, she thought to herself, pointlessly. But Minnie Crabtree was not one to be daunted by a comatose mistress. After all, she was still a Cockney Street urchin at heart, and roused herself from her sorrowful reverie by whistling a few Cockney tunes. Their host, the enigmatic Lord Beeston, would make his daily visit at any moment, and, solicitous as he seemed, Minnie didn't trust the glint in his dark, piercing eyes, and the cruel sneer that betimes etched itself along his haughty upper lip.
Oh. Sometimes writing this stuff is like pulling teeth. Well, I suppose it's because all I really want to do right now is think about you, Brian. And I can't imagine you with a cruel sneer etched along your upper lip. No, you wouldn't be a landed gentry type. As a carpenter, I suppose you'd be more a...
How do, Lady Anna?
Oh, Brian, I have found you at last. What is it you were doing?
Splitting the logs, ma'am.
Oh, yes. And is that why you were stripped to the waist? Your bronzed torso gleaming in the noonday sun?
Out in the cambric, we'd all sweat it up if I was to keep it on, ma'am. And I'd be too hot.
Too hot, you say?
It would be hard work, Lady Anna. What with the heft and the swing of it.
Oh, I see.
A man must concentrate to keep a firm grip on the shaft of his axe, ma'am, and keep his rhythm strong.
And I take it, Brian, your rhythm is strong.
Once I have my rhythm, ma'am, I can keep going all day.
Oh.
Here, let me show you how it's done. Come here and let me hold you in my arms, Lady Anna. I'll give you the benefit of my woodsman's skill.
Oh, yes. Yes, please, Brian.
Aye, aye, aye. Hold your horses, muscle boy.
Hmm? Oh!
Minnie!
Well, now that really is the limit.
Brian?
I don't know how a male fantasy figure is meant to work in these conditions.
Brian, come back! Now look what you've done. You're supposed to be guarding Alice's bedside, not interrupting my idle daydreams.
Yeah, well, I was. But then I felt a distinct lack of authorial presence, didn't I, Lady Anna? What's going on? I turned you back for 2 minutes and you're off fantasising about Brian again. I thought once you'd actually got past the first date, all this constant mooning stopped.
Oh, no, Minnie. It doesn't work like that at all. The more you see them, the more you think about them, and the more you think about them, the more you want to see them again. It's a vicious circle. I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof. Ever since I met Brian, I felt, well, sort of light-headed.
Yeah, I expect that's the concussion. You did fall under a bookcase, remember?
I thought we'd agreed that subject was closed.
Oh, come on. How many characters get to see their authors trapped under a large wooden object? And anyway, it pales into insignificance compared to the things I've had to put up with.
Oh, now I'm a character abuser, am I? What have you had to put up with?
Oh, excuse me. It seems that on your drunken farrago of a first date, you sustained a touch of amnesia as well. Who, may I ask, was Madame Tristesse, the bearded lady in Carnival of Desire? Moi.
Well, okay.
I was a sewer urchin in Undercurrents of Love, remember that?
Oh, yes, I had forgotten.
And in Highland Fling, I ate the poison haggis meant for Bonnie Prince Charlie and was on death's door for the last 5 chapters.
All right, you've made your point. I expect the darkermost places of my previous solitary existence were spilling over into my prose.
Oh, really?
Yes, which means you should be happy that I've met Brian. Because now I'm changing.
Into what? Lady Chatterley?
You're not taking me seriously at all, are you?
I am! But I'm still waiting to hear why this geezer's so special.
He is not a geezer. Oh, Minnie, it's just that he's... Well, he's...
Yeah?
He's...
Hung like a donkey.
So sweet is what I was actually going to say.
Sweet? That's a bit tepid, isn't it? Especially for a man who's bringing light into your darkermost places, eh?
Minnie! What I mean is, he's popped in to see me every day since... Well, since... the little mishap. unless the man would have run a mile.
And rightly so, if you ask me.
Well, I'm not asking you.
Look, I'm delighted for you, really. But what about me, eh? What happens to me while you're experiencing the nascent thrill of passions new? I might like a bit of hanky-panky too, you know.
When they were handing out muses, I really did draw the short straw, didn't I?
Oh, well, look at you, Miss Butter Wouldn't Melt. It's all right for you, big grin on your face like a Cheshire cat. No wonder you're distracted. There's a reason you can't sit down for 2 minutes together, and it's nothing to do with poor concentration, I'll warrant.
What?
Oh, come on. We're both women of the world.
At least tell me some of the gory details.
I beg your pardon.
Come on, spill the beans. How is it?
How is what?
How's the,
Minnie, I really don't have a clue what it is you're getting at.
Cool, blimey, you 21st century women aren't half slow on the uptake. How is the house your father?
The what?
The sick!
Oh, well, that's typical. Of course, it all has to be about sex, doesn't it? Everything has to revolve around that.
You was the one having gamekeeper fantasies 10 minutes ago.
Well, for your information, we haven't, actually. There hasn't been... It hasn't really got...
You haven't done it!
Well, I wasn't going to put it quite so unpoetically, but no, we haven't done it.
Oh. Is there something wrong with him?
No!
How do you know if you haven't done it?
You are truly charming.
Salt of the earth, me. Cockney street urchin, remember? Very colourful life. So you haven't done the nasty?
No. As if it's any of your business.
It's my business if you can't write for the sexual frustration.
Oh, please.
Don't get all hoity-toity with me, madam. The penny's dropped now. I can see what's going on when your eyes glaze over and it ain't plot development.
Hello, lady. You want to have a romance?
Yes, Anna, if I could just... Yes, dear, but what I want to... Anna, I need that chapter by today. No, no, wait, Anna. Anna? I don't believe it. Deirdre! Deirdre!
All right, I'm coming. Keep your hair on, Brenda. Now what's up? That vein in your forehead's throbbing again.
You're not going to believe this. Anna has met a man.
And? That's it.
Don't you understand, Deirdre? She's been drawn like a moth to the flame of her own prose. Next minute, she'll be falling in love.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
It is not good, Deirdre. It shows a complete lack of professional detachment.
Well, I'm pleased for her, I must say. He sounds like a lovely chap.
You knew?
She might have mentioned it in passing.
In passing? Really? Well, I find that hard to believe. I've just had her on the phone for half an hour and she could barely talk about anything else.
Oh, Philavin. What is it he does?
Oh, I don't know. Though he makes things, apparently. Runs a craft shop.
Oh, good with his hands, then.
Well, yes, I suppose. Don't be so crude, Deirdre.
Oh, Anna's got a fella. That is great.
No, it is not. She has a deadline today, and do you know what she did when I reminded her? She sang Que Sera Sera, Deirdre. I mean, we've probably lost her now. One of the best romance writers of her generation, seduced away by the lurid thrall of real life.
Don't be so melodramatic, Brenda. A romance will give her inspiration.
Romance is not an inspiration, Deirdre. It's a distraction. I remember my ex-husband.
Which one?
Oh, we were very romantic. Before he decided he wanted to become a woman, of course. And I frittered away a lot of my precious time, Deirdre. Watching sunsets, eating candlelit dinners, being punted up and down the cam.
Can't imagine you being punted, Brenda.
I mean, I'm not against romance. In its proper place.
What is its proper place?
As a marketable commodity, Deirdre.
Anna! How's the muse supposed to concentrate with all this noise? But it was so kind of Brian to offer. I couldn't say no.
Couldn't say no? You could barely speak when he turned up in his overalls.
Well, it was a lovely surprise.
Well, that's as may be, but we've got work to do. Oi, where do you think you're going?
I'm just going to pop my head round the door, see how he's getting on.
I don't want to be rude.
Anna, come back here. Anna, control yourself. We've got a deadline.
There we are. Finished. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness. I've got storage space. I've never had storage space before. It's amazing. How did you do that?
Well, the usual explanation involves wood glue and dovetailing, but actually, it's magic.
Oh, I like him a lot. Thank you, Brian. Now, how much do I owe you?
Oh, absolutely wouldn't hear of it, Anna.
Oh, don't be silly. You've already rehung the front door for free.
Oh, yes, because I helped knock it in. I'm hardly going to charge a woman who concussed herself while attempting to go on a date with me.
Yes, but...
And now I consider we're friends, and I never charge friends. Oh, no, that sounds platonic. What did I say that for?
Brian.
Really, all I require in payment is this delicious cup of tea, a slice of cake...
And a passionate clinch in the sawdust.
And a shower?
A shower? Oh, my goodness. He'll be naked in my bathroom.
If that's all right. Oh, no, does that sound a bit forward? It's just that I'm sweating like a horse. I always work up a lather when I'm sawing.
Oh, good one, Brian. She really wants to know that.
Yes, I can tell your shirt's sticking to your chest.
Anna, get a grip.
I'll get you a towel.
Thanks. It's just that sawdust gets everywhere.
Oh, Brian, please stop talking.
I can imagine. Oh, my goodness, I really can imagine.
I've taken my shirt off. What am I doing?
He's taken his shirt off. He's right behind me with his shirt off. Oh, my goodness. He's in my house with his shirt off, smelling of manual labour. I'm having another Lady Chatterley moment. Here you go. Bath towel. Bathroom's just in there.
Are you all right, Anna? You've gone very pale.
Being a spirit guide is all very well and good, but it is most pleasant to leave one's earthly body from time to time and surf the cosmic plane.
That is true. Although, speaking of earthly bodies, I see Brian is giving you all a bit of a polish.
What? Why weren't you telling me sooner? You know what he's like on that terrible machine?
Do it to me one more time. Once is never enough with a woman like you.
Brian, your mind is not on the job.
Oh, goodness me, what am I doing? I was miles away. Sorry, little Buddha, I've sanded away part of your stomach. Good job you're not for sale. There we go, back on the shelf.
Oh, goodness gracious. The man's an idiot.
Next to your friend, the fertility doll.
Don't you see what he did to me?
I think it suits you. You have been carrying too much weight around for centuries.
Oh, the work of a spirit guide is never easy. I don't know what is wrong with Brian just now. His mind constantly wanders. His chakras are all out of alignment. And look there, he's doing it again. Look at the way he is sanding that table leg. It's practically a toothpick.
Well, my little slimpers Buddha, it is very obvious to me what is going on. If you weren't so busy contemplating a lone tree falling in the wilderness, you'd be able to see that here, the sap is rising.
What on earth are you meaning of your enigmatic riddles?
Oh, I want to make love to you, Anna.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Look how he is constantly standing and buffing and polishing. He is a man in pain. A man channeling his primal edges into furniture. He wants this woman, but he is too timid. We have to encourage him.
Oh, no. He has turned it up a notch.
Brian, you are stifling your human desires. You are a mighty oak looking for a forest.
What are you doing, you stupid doll? You're making it worse.
Brian, stop channeling your passion in this way. You are the sky heavy with storm. She is the earth aching for rain. Water her desert, Brian.
Oh, my goodness me.
Anna, are you ever going to do any work again?
Oh, I can't seem to focus. Ever since Brian left, I've been feeling a sort of...
yearning deep in your very loins.
Yes.
So he still hasn't made a move?
No. Maybe he doesn't fancy me. Do you think I'm fat?
Oh, Anna, stop it. You are not fat. Big bones, maybe.
He said he considered us friends, which is lovely. But what if he only thinks of me as a friend? If you tip over into that territory, it's a disaster. All that unrequited yearning, the hanging on in there just in case, and then ending up as maid of honour when he marries someone else. I mean, what if he's not interested? You know, in that way.
Gordon, Benny.
It could just be that he feels sorry for me.
Well, why would he feel sorry for you?
I fell under a bookcase. I had 46 encyclopedias and the entire works of Shakespeare on top of me.
Well, at least William was up for it.
Or maybe he thinks I'm still too delicate to approach in that way.
Yeah, there you go. Probably worried he'll dislodge more of your grey matter with his great manly thrustings. Oh. Now, can we get on?
Oh, Minnie.
Oh, blimey.
No. He does find me attractive. I'm sure of it.
Good. Well, then if you're sure of it, why don't you just jump on him and get it over with?
But don't be ridiculous, Minnie. I couldn't do that.
Why not? Men love that.
Well, I wouldn't want to seem forward.
We are talking about carnal desire. The whole proposition is forward. A man and a woman, the primal instinct. You said it yourself. Paleolithic Passion, chapter 5.
But this isn't the Stone Age, Minnie. We are civilized. Slightly older people easing our toes tentatively into the daunting waters of physical contact. And to be honest, I think we're both a bit rusty.
Well, I'd better be off home. Thanks for the shower.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the shelf.
Oh, well, you know. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, Anna? Calling Anna?
Oh, what? Oh, Minnie, yes, I was just mapping out some plot in my head.
Listen, Mrs., I've had enough of you disappearing off into your limbic cortex. We've got a deadline.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry, Minnie.
Well, there's only one thing to be done. I'm getting bobbing. The best thing to take your mind off a man is another man, and never mind if he's fictional. Oi, Bob! Bob!
Lord Robert Beeston, at your service, lady.
Right, Bob, no time for idle chat. We are seriously behind. The name of the game is Words on the Page.
Ah, well, absolutely. Although now I'm here, I was hoping to raise the smallest of objections to the aforementioned cruel sneer etched along my...
Sorry, Bob, no time for that now. Everybody concentrate. Anna, you've got to do what all good writers do. Channel.
Channel?
Channel whatever's on your mind into your prose.
Oh, right. Well, I don't know how easy that's going to be, but... Okay, here goes.
Alice lay like a carved angel atop a tomb. So very still was she that only the pale roses in her cheeks betrayed the fact that she was indeed still alive. She was so beautiful and yet so vulnerable, her bosom straining gently against the crisp, virginal whiteness of the sheets.
But Lord Beeston was not convinced of her incapacity.
He stalked the room like a tiger on hot coals, his dark, fierce eyes glinting in the candlelight.
Sir, you stalked the room like a tiger on hot coals, gasped Minnie, sore affrighted.
Get out, he thundered brutally, pushing her roughly from the room.
Ow! Hang on a minute! Minnie, it's working!
As he turned back from the door, Robert was momentarily caught off guard by the astonishing beauty of the woman before him. Oh, Alice!
He moaned under his breath.
As he crossed the room to gaze at her, he was sure they were spies, her and her maid. But as she lay there in the candlelight, all that he could think was that he wanted her.
Oh, I say, Anna...
Oh, now, this is getting good.
He flung back the counterpane with reckless abandon and drank in her voluptuous curves, so thinly disguised by her gossamer nightdress.
Anna, I really don't think...
Alice stirred gently as his fingers traced the line of her lips. She had been dreaming of him, had heard his voice every day in the room as her soul searched for a window back into the light.
Well, now that is rather beautiful.
Her movement both roused and disappointed him. Surely this was the proof that she was faking her stupor.
Still, he could not help himself. His arms were suddenly encompassing her, and before he knew it, his lips were pressed to hers. And she, her eyes now wide open, was kissing him back. She had awoken to a torrent of mixed passions as Lord Beeston tore at her flimsy nightdress and showered her with hot, manly kisses. Well, now, I'm sorry, Anna, but I just can't go on.
Whatever's wrong, Bob?
Well, I'm taking advantage of an invalid.
Yeah, but you think she's faking it.
Yes, meanwhile, Alice's own hidden love for you saves her life and wakes her up.
But I must say, Anna... Having led a rather sheltered life between the pages of your previous novels, I find myself, quite frankly, ill-prepared for the full force of such an emotional and, of course, not to mention physical, onslaught.
Oh, Bob, don't be such a big girl's blouse.
I beg your pardon, Minnie, but I feel...
Okay, we'll do something else, but let's keep going. I'm on a roll.
All right, something with me in it, though.
Okay, something like this.
Minnie cowered with terror as the footsteps came to a halt and the cupboard door was rattled with great force.
It seems I have discovered your hiding place, you little spy. Come out, or I will be forced to come in.
Please, Lord Beeston, I am no spy, she cried beseechingly.
Really? Well, a cupboard is no place for the stand-in governess of my dead sister's children. My skills as a gentleman carpenter are known throughout the land, and if you will not step out of your own free will, then I will brace the door hard and pound it down with my hammer.
Oh, sir, if you try to storm my fortress with your great hammer, I swear I shall trace my vengeance across your face with my nails.
Anna, really, I must protest.
Oh, don't stop, Bob, it's fantastic.
Will the sanding never stop? Think of something.
I'm trying.
Well, try harder, or everything in the shop will be turned to wood pulp.
Wait! I have it. Cook for her, Brian. Seduce her with your cuisine.
Yes, yes. Now that is a civilized idea.
The Kama Sutra is very clear on the aphrodisiac nature of food.
Cook for her, Brian.
I know. I'll cook for Anna. That'd be nice. A candlelit dinner, that's it. That's definitely not platonic. Oh, but what'll I make? I've got a bit of a limited repertoire.
Be inspired, Brian, by the marketplace, the smell of spices, the wares of the traders, mango, plantain, salt fish, okra.
Think of the sensual flavors of India, Brian.
Oh, I could do that curry I invented. Yeah. So, what'll I need? Meat, curry powder, chopped up apple, and some sultanas. Fantastic.
What is he talking about? Chopped up apples and some sultanas.
Calm yourself. You'll sow seeds of doubt in his mind.
But this is not a curry. It's an abomination. It is inconceivable to me that a man who can craft such beautiful objects cannot also prepare a delicious meal, write an exquisite poem, and perform a dance depicting the story of his ancestors. The modern man is such a disappointment to me.
Well, what are you going to do? At least the woman has good childbearing hips.
Wait a minute. You are always doing this, jumping ahead of the gun. A man and a woman must progress to being lovers before they become parents.
I know how it works. I am a fertility doll.
No. What I am meaning is that they must have much time to develop their skills at lovemaking. This will tell them if they are truly compatible. They must start out slowly with only the beginner positions, and then once they have confidently achieved nestling the artichoke and the happy elephant, then and only then can they move on to the hovering butterfly and swinging the lemur.
The lovemaking is not a study. It is a passion throbbing well below the heart. Yes. They must throw caution to the wind, make love with abandon. If they are meant to be, they will be blessed with fecundity.
Oh, my goodness. What if we... I mean, I haven't got any... Or if I have, they'll all be well past that. Right, Brian, you'd better get down the chemist.
Don't say a word.
Suddenly he was upon her, wrestling her lithe and curial form to the ground. They struggled like wild animals until gradually the violence of their movements subsided and a different passion took hold of them. Brenda, you're right.
Yes, I'm just looking for my inhaler.
He kissed her savagely, cradling her breast in his large rough hand. Oh, Brenda, Anna's never cradled anyone's breast before. Minnie gasped, amazed at the weight and girth of him, feeling as she could through his clothes, the insistent throbbing of his...
Look,
Brenda.
What is it? Oh, my goodness, you can't write that. What's wrong with manhood?
This is hot stuff. Anna's romance is certainly pepping up her prose. Can I take this home with you, Brenda?
No, you cannot, Deirdre. Oh. And what's more, I'm really not sure if this is at all suitable for Lady Horn. I don't know what's come over Anna.
Oh, I've an idea, I do.
That was delicious, Brian.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I love sultanas.
Me too.
But you know, you have the warmest, brownest eyes.
Oh, gosh, Anna.
And I really would like to, compliment you again on the meal.
Okay, fat boy. I'm putting up two incantations and a totemic ritual. She's like a tiger on heat.
Please to stop calling me fat boy. I have slimmed down considerably in the last 24 hours. Wait a minute. You want to make a bet with me on who will initiate their sexual joining?
Of course. Are you in or out?
In. I have two tantric mantras says it's in.
You're on.
More wine?
Well, actually, I thought we might have some of this.
Oh, champagne?
Yes. It's to say thank you for the meal and, well, for everything.
The tiger moved in for the kill.
Go, Anna.
Now, let's see if I can remember how to do this. Oh, here we go. I think I've got it.
Yes, that's it. It's moving.
Oh, my gosh.
No, push with your thumbs.
Oh, it's really stiff.
Here, we'll do it together.
Oh, that's it. It's coming.
Yep, I can feel it.
Oh, my goodness.
Try to hold on to it, Anna.
Oh, no. Brian, I don't think I can.
Well, aim it away from your face.
Oh, what's that?
Oh!
No.
Oh!
Hello, 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 as many a peeler of my acquaintance might say. What's all this, then?
Hello, Minnie. I didn't expect to see you this morning after your dinner of delights.
Oh, yes, that.
Well, what happened?
You want to know what happened?
Oh, every gory detail.
Okay, this is what happened. I took a bottle of champagne round to Brian's, and when I popped the cork, it hit him in the eye and we ended up spending half the night in casualty. Again.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, well, at least it's your sister.
It's not funny. It's as if I'm jinxed.
So no rumpy-pumpy?
No.
And how's Brian?
Oh, he's okay. Some nasty swelling, but apart from that, he's fine. Well, I don't suppose he'll be ringing me again in a hurry. Hello?
Anna.
Brian.
Are you busy right now?
No. No, not at all.
I have to see you. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Oh, that was Brian. He's on his way over.
Coming alone or bringing his nasty swelling?
Romantic Friction was feistily written by Michelle Reed and starred seductive Samantha Bond, heaving Hugh Bonneville, and saucy Sue Elliott Nichols. And also featured the bodice-ripping talents of Adjoa Ando, Tammy Darweesh, Andrew Wincott, Beth Chalmers, Michelle Reed, and Michael Fenton Stevens. The pulsating producer was Dawn Ellis.